Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, AP18 himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, Mr. G-Dub himself. Garrett, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin, here again to tell you the comics coming out for this week of March 28th and 29th. The last week of March, I feel like I just said March started. Actually, no, that was spring. I said spring started. So, but in March,
it did just start.
To be fair, March... I had a week taken away from me, basically. So, you know, you skip forward a week, and here we are in April. You know, they say April showers bring what, Alex?
The Mayflower, maybe just Mayflowers.
No, free
probably,
comic book day.
Probably drowned flowers from all the snow you guys got. That's
April true. Showers brings free comic book day, because it's the first Saturday in May.
You know what? I thought this year we weren't going to Free Combo Day, so it doesn't even fucking matter.
Well, you guys can still go. I just can't make it.
Garrett, it's not the same without you.
I know, man. You know?
Wait, do you have plans
fucking
already?
Response. I told you guys already. My partner's bro is graduating.
Oh, that's
so.
Right. That's right. When we talked about why is it always on that weekend.
It might not look so good for me to be like, I'm going to go eat McDonald's and go to free comic book
hold
day.
Up, hold up. Don't you fucking make fun of the McGriddle, all right?
No, I'm not making fun because obviously
well, you're disparaging.
I really, really, want to go to this graduation. Wink, wink, wink.
Last year.
You're disparaging
girls. Scientist Sam brought donuts.
He did.
And threw up mojo. So, you know what?
They were good fucking donuts, though.
They were good donuts.
They were good. And we appreciate it. We appreciate it, Alex. Don't act like it wasn't. We were appreciated.
I'm bitching about it, but I think I had like three of them. So
yeah, I can't fit three donuts and a McGriddle in there. I would have room left in my intestines. Like, it would be plugged.
I mean,
shit, right later.
You could swing next door to that gas station. He always loved you just walking in to use that key.
I know, but I know who went to the bathroom in front of me and behind me, so I'm like, I can't enjoy myself.
Ah, just like the human centipede. I'm going to hear the comics coming out.
Oh, God, dude. That's disgusting. Never bring that up again.
That are coming out this week. God, what were you just saying? I thought I had something to say about what you were saying.
McDonald's.
About the human centipede?
Oh, McDonald's, McGriddles. You don't think those things you can't just like pass up. I haven't had a McGriddles. I only have it that day, usually.
I know.
This hashtag guest host one. How may I enlighten your day this evening?
Hey, Corey, are you coming to free comic book day?
Bro. Don't
make what's free comic book day? Oh, I haven't even thought about it yet. I could potentially.
Okay, well, let us know if you're coming, because I'll decide whether or not Marvin and I leave our houses.
I was going to say, Alex, he's got less of a chance than Garrett, and Garrett's got obligations that day, so.
Garrett, what you got going on?
Graduation.
My partner's brother's graduation.
Oh.
Yep. The one I really, really, really want to go to. Really bad. So bad.
Yeah. So he's not going to be there, Corey, and we're looking for at least one of the twins.
Well, he's going to die of a heart attack once he meets Tom Welling, so this is all a moot point anyway.
That's true. That is true.
Speaking of which,
I don't know about it in that order. I mean, probably Kirsten Kruk. Eric.
Speaking
Grant,
of which,
Tom Welling,
Garrett, let the crowd know. Oh, you've been saying you're going to CTE2. That's this weekend.
Yeah, first time going to a big con.
Who are we planning on seeing? Who do you think you're gonna?
Holy crap!
Find?
Well, Smallville cast. Definitely, I already have autographs and photos booked with Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, Kristen Kruk, and Erica Durance. However, they did announce 2 weeks ago, after I had already paid all this lovely money, that John Glover is also going to be there, who played Lionel Luther. So I'll definitely get his autograph, but I'm not up in that photo because it's too confusing on how to do it. Mr. Feeny is going to be there from Boy Meets World. Not that that's anything related comic book wise, but I'm probably getting his autograph because he's 95 and, you know, you got to get it done before life
hey,
finds a way.
Tread lightly.
But however, the comic book creators that are going to be there, I mean, I only have so much money, but I'm definitely going to do some walk-bys to Artist Alley because Dustin Wynn's going to be there. Sean Murphy's going to be there. Come on, do it. Do it right. Do it right. Do it right, man. Show it. Oh, God. Come on. Come on. Yes. America!
Oh my God!
Once again, if our audience remembers, that is Garrett reacting to Smallville finale. I'm never gonna believe that's not you.
Garrett, it almost could be you.
Like, he does sound a little like me.
He does sound a little like you, and who knows what state your voice was.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what state your voice was during that finale? You tore it down from yelling so much, and that has to be you at the end. No one has that kind of passion for Smallville that you do.
That's true. I mean, I am the top commenter.
This is a man that probably bought every season, and then also when they came out with the whole show package, he bought both of them.
Well, I bought the DVD complete series set, and then they did her 20th anniversary Blu-ray complete series set. Yeah, I have both.
Okay. And then a man who probably has bought the tie-in comics.
All of them, yep.
And probably also, at one point in his life, had a poster with not only Tom Welling on it, but probably Lana and maybe his Chloe on there.
Nope, just Tom. Tommy's on Tom. But since the I'm on the top for the Talkville Rewatch podcast, got an autographed print from Tom and Michael, and then I have a poster I'm going to have signed.
What do you mean you're on top?
I'm a top tier patron.
Garrett, I believe it's called the platinum tier. Which I am, again for $13, you get 1 minute of my time.
Well, anyways, besides that buffoon's comment,
okay, so Patreon. Okay.
Some other comic creators, though. Kevin Eastman's going to be there.
Nice.
Nice.
Who else I see? Scott Snyder will be there.
Oh, speaking of which, Kevin Eastman. So I went to the local state theater, it's called. It's an old theater. They renovated it. It was one of like the first theaters. Not only in the city, but in the area. And it's in our downtown in Sioux Falls. And I went there and I saw TMNT, the first movie. And they make it like an event. Like they play the Turtles cartoon theme. And the ceiling was all the colors of the Turtles. And I watched the movie. And one, first off, there's not a movie. Alex, I was thinking about this. I was like, I can see why. Like, I think maybe once or twice we've thrown jokes your way about being a fan of TMNT. Probably like because of that girl who was obsessed with it and she had the collection. I was like, that's you, Alex. That's the only joke I've ever made. But I've never made a joke being like, TMNT, why would you get that? And I was watching the movie and I was just like, this movie's so fucking good. How could you not fall in love with these characters? Like, I was watching it with my kids. By the way, they both said it was fantastic. They loved it. But it was an enjoyable experience, and it holds up. I don't see anything wrong with that movie.
That first movie is like the first Die Hard. It is honestly a perfect movie for that genre. The acting, the casting, everything is so spot on. I honestly just need to re-add to that. You don't need to keep remodeling. Just add to the original Jim Henson creature stuff and you'll be fine.
It is good. Better than the second one, I will say.
So Kevin Eastman, you're going to see there. And he's going to be there, but do you plan on seeing him?
I think Artist Alley's more open than the big wigs because like Chris Evans is going to be there and Zachary Levi, but I don't think you can't just like walk by their table and be like, oh, hey, man. Like, oh, you know. There's like
Garrett,
lines probably.
I'm more interested now in meeting Chris Evans.
So Chris Evans, speaking of which, now that your brother, I forgot that your brother was here, so we should probably talk about the movie.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. Sorry. My life's more.
I called
nice
you,
than yours.
Corey, because some unfortunate news about. Jonathan Majors getting into some legal trouble because of an assault. And we were talking about, before the podcast started, actually, I was talking about how, like, even at this point, like, that report that, of like, if they said that there was, like, marks and stuff like that, like, no matter what happens, whether or not he's at fault or not at fault. They cut him from those movies. Any future plans? So do you think did they recast Corey, or did they replace him with a different villain and act like he died in Ant-Man?
God, that's tough. I don't know. I mean, clearly, if you're going to replace, you put in Chris Tucker.
What the fuck is this?
Hey, Colby,
come on,
Colby,
come on, Colby. Thanos. Come on,
Colby.
Come on, Thor.
Don't stop till you get enough. Mushu, which will give us our long-awaited Rush Hour 4.
Mm-hmm. Reunion, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I guess he would have filmed Ready for Loki too, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've already finished production on that. Or they're in post-production.
Dude. It's kind of like an Army Hammer situation. I mean, but again, Army Hammer, I think, was more guilty.
If we were talking about also about the Ezra Miller situation and how they haven't veered at all not putting that movie out. But they most likely will recast them, but they're still willing to put that whole movie out. And it's like the biggest movie that they have coming out this year. Not only that also, but what was I going to say? Not only that also, that was what was wrong. This whole time I was like, God damn, I can't hear anything. My headphone volume on the ear thing, it has a volume thing. I didn't know that. And it was down all the way. This is way better. I can hear myself now, guys. And I can hear you more. Actually, that's more helpful. I can hear you better. What was I saying? Oh, Ezra Miller.
I don't know. Didn't you hear yourself?
They still have a big movie around Ezra Miller. No matter what he did, it's the biggest movies they had. And they're coming back from... You're talking about Warner Brothers Pictures, which last year only had enough money to advertise two movies. Like, they are hurting. And so they're taking a big shot about releasing that movie and hoping that it does big because Shazam did it. And so,
fucking Michael Keaton Batman's one way to do it, though.
Well, that's what I was saying is, like, does Marvel have more to lose by keeping this guy around?
I don't know, but I mean, obviously they've done the recasting before, even though that was very, very early MCU.
Two recastings that there's been. Three. One, because the person died, which is unfortunate. But Ed Norton, for being basically like controlling and a dick on set. And then Mr. Terrence Howard, because he wanted too much money.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And also, I don't know if you heard him speak recently, but also might be crazy. So,
right. Who would you bring in, even though Chris Tucker, obviously, he's busy.
Here's what I was saying. I think you just act like he died in Ant-Man. That ending, that secret scene at the end of Ant-Man that happens with a bunch of kings, just act like that never happened. And then you just have Dr. Doom come in and replace, like, him as the big bad for this one, and then you get the Fantastic Four show up.
So what about that they announced Kang Dynasty? They just roll back on that?
Yeah, I guess they would have to.
No, I don't think they would do that. They've planned it too much for that to not happen, so I think they got to keep Kang.
So the Secret Wars that's coming out, is that supposed to be on Disney Plus? It's not a movie, right?
Secret Invasion will be on Disney Plus, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But didn't they announce Secret Wars too?
Yeah, they did. That's going to be a movie. That's going to be an Avengers movie. Okay. They have to have Doom by then.
Terry Crews is Kang.
Jesus, bro.
Marlon Wayans as Kang.
For some reason.
Why are you a comedian?
For some reason, he wants some funny coming out of that man, you know? We saw one of his variants laughing. But when you said Terry Crews, I thought that you said, I thought you meant Terry O'Quinn from Lost.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, what the fuck? What is this guy think?
I can't have Locke. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see what comes of the investigation and all that, but because... I mean, they're banking on majors a lot, I feel. So it's like they're probably going to put up like, hey, as soon as they hear that he actually was guilty of this, they're going to definitely. But until then, I feel like they'll, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they'll keep quiet and just wait to see what happens.
Yeah, because then if it is, then yeah, I think they'll just recast. I think they've invested too much into the Kang Dynasty and they got now. It's the multiverse.
I want to ask you a question, Corey. Not of this news, but just in general about the MCU, because obviously you've been a critic of the MCU this phase, last phase, I guess, because that other phase is over. What's one thing that the MCU could do that will make you buy into those things 100% again?
I don't know. It just is like...
Like Kevin Feige calls you and he says, Corey, one thing you want, I'll make happen. What's it going to be?
Just, they got to be superheroes. You know? All these stories. Like, if you think about it, Thor Love and Thunder, what is it? It's a voyage movie. I mean, yeah, they're going to save kids, I guess, but it's kind of about... But yeah, but it's also about, like, I don't know, but it's just not people saving people in, like, a way, or it's not, they need to serious up the tone. I need to feel, like, the level of humor needs to be, like, Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's, I would agree with that. You know, I, recently on FX, they've been showing all the Phase 1 movies, and I'm, like, sitting there watching, and I'm, like, Paramount is what made this franchise start out successful. I don't give props to Disney. They funded what Paramount started. You know, yeah. I know they acquired Paramount, but I'm like, there was magic in those movies. And like, when you get to the end of every single one of those Phase 1 movies, you're excited for the next movie because they give you an appropriate tease as opposed to being like just something stupid. And then that doesn't make any sense. So put something out there that gets you excited for the next movie, but don't make it like it needs to make sense. And like, I think what they've done horribly wrong is keeping the audience in the dark. Like they're trying too much to be like, you guys will never fucking figure this out. Instead of like, get excited for this because you know what's coming. And that's what we all knew when we saw Thanos for the first time, everyone was like, holy shit, the possibilities. But instead they're like, we're gonna confuse the fuck out of you and hope you get excited for our next movie. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I just want like an action scene. Like I want like a 30 minute action scene. Not that like, because if you think about it, Endgame was 4 years ago, and since then were more about these monologues and all this stuff than like some well good like action, like Civil War, all that stuff. It's like I want some like badass fights, and it's just
I feel like
the fight choreography has like gone down a lot.
Yeah, I agree with that, because when you had directors like the Russos that, like, they're made in more like action movies.
Yeah.
Mr. Waititi, what's his last name?
Taika Waititi.
This guy coming in and playing off as a comedy when you have one of the biggest action stars that you possibly could have in Thor. And then you have, you know, people. I don't care. Doctor Strange has a lot of Sam Raimi direction, but in terms of story, it doesn't feel it like Sam Raimi, so I'm not even going to count that one as like being Sam Raimi doing what he does. But a lot of these things besides Black Panther 2 and besides any Captain America stuff, like those are the two things that they reserve to be 100% serious now and are not goofy. And it's like, at what point do they realize they're making the same movie over and over again with just different characters? Like Thor and Ragnarok, I think, was good at that point because there is a lot of action in that movie, and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
There is still a serious part of that movie, and it starts with some serious moments, like the beginning with Loki, Thor, and Odin passing away, or going off into the ether, into the World Tree, to be reborn again. And so it kind of earns those moments, and those moments are also not like... Like Thor is dumb, but in Love and Thunder, that guy had no thoughts whatsoever.
Right. Can I bring up a point? And I'm not saying that I hated She-Hulk, but prime example, is the, I can't remember if it was the finale episode or the second to last, where it's like, you know, kind of playing like the Incredible Hulk from the 1980s or 70s or whatever.
It's the one before the last.
It's the one before the last. And I'm like, that's what everybody wants. Everybody wanted like Hulk smash, all this stuff. And we just, it's like they know what we want, but they're just trying to subvert the expectations.
I'll play to that. I think a lot of times they've gotten too happy with hiding something and get away with something versus that, yeah, like it paying off. Like there's
right,
there isn't a lot of payoffs right now. Like a lot of these characters, especially these new characters that they introduce, are only within their own movies and haven't even started like crossing over yet. And so right, I know that stuff is coming. And I know if we think back to like phase one, like that's how phase mm-hmm. one worked. But you yeah. are not a longer, you're no longer introducing a whole new world to people at right. this point. Like at this point, it should be the continuity should be continuing with where we're at, and we shouldn't have to build up to these characters again. Like I think that's really what's missing for me in these movies. It's not that like that. Well, first off, like half of them aren't really that entertaining, but I feel like it doesn't feel like that universe anymore. Like the Ant-Man stuff has nothing to do with anything else. And I know right. maybe we'll get that, but as you said, like they're subverting expectations by being like, oh, they're connected. And they're like, no, they're not. Like if you look at every trailer, stuff like that, like that was everybody talking about how, oh, okay, that's because of Loki and stuff like that. And then they never mention anything about it.
Yeah. Nothing's yeah. connected. That's right. It's like nothing. And it's so annoying because like you have this whole universe and it seems like, you know, we did Multiverse to Madness and now we did Quantumania, but they're not Mania and they're not Multiverses of Madnesses. They're one or two other places. And so it's just, you have this whole universe and it's like, they just get stuck in these single landscapes where I'm like, God, I don't know. I don't think anybody else that they have.
The real barometer will be if Captain America 4 doesn't do well, rock bottom. Like, that's the one I'm looking forward to
creatively,
the most.
You mean?
Like, creatively,
they're
yeah.
still making money. Not as much yeah. money as they
Oh, yeah,
because
there's
making.
A bunch of fucking morons. And there's people that still go to Michael Bay movies. So, like,
hey, let's remember that Transformers Age of Extinction or The Last Night is one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
And let's remember how good Bad Boys is. All right? I don't even hear this shit talking about Michael Bay. All right?
Michael Bay did Bad Boys?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, jeez.
Good. I will say, though, 90s Michael Bay, nothing like it. But I will say that to your point, too, like, people are still going to these movies, but I think, like, what's really good down in quality, like they have some of the same directors from the last, what made the last movie successful or the last phase of movies. The thing is the writers that they have, and not the shit on any individual writer. Cause it's hard probably to come up and write a blockbuster movie, but they're getting people who, like, you look at their credits, like have not done anything. And they're like, they do one thing and then they're writing these blockbuster movies. Whereas if you go back and look at the last couple phases and who wrote those movies, those are great writers. Like, and I think that's really big because a lot of them also were TV writers and they put them on these movies. Like they've done their TV shows. And so you get that kind of same jokey, quippy, kind of almost like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Joss Whedon kind of talk, which is what actually made the first couple Avengers not as good as the Russo Avengers, because it's like that kind of, because when we rewatched Avengers and you're like, this is like totally different now. Like in that one, they were all quippy and they all were like, I don't know. Anyways, so now they're all writing to that style. And so like when you get like a Ryan Coogler who's doing Black Panther 2, or you get hopefully with this Captain America, somebody who, actually, who's directing that even? I didn't even know who's directing that. It's not the Russos.
Mm-hmm. So, but I think we're at the phase where all these movies should almost feel like Marvel team up. And I know it's like, hey, we got to do this. We got to repeat one through three all over again. But you've already introduced that the world is so big. So you need to have, like, I'm not talking about, like, Star-Lord and all that, because that was kind of weird. But, like, actually have them in for a scene or two. Helping out with something like that. Like, oh, we're going to call in, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp. I don't know who you would have called in. But have somebody there that, you know, that just shows that this universe is so big instead of being stuck in a single place.
Yeah.
Like, for your multiverse saga.
Like, I know, like, that's the thing, too. And they really should be acting like those past phase characters are bringing in the new characters rather than having it, rather than having Ms. Marvel, which I enjoyed, but rather than having Ms. Marvel and having no Captain, and that's going to be the next movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then She-Hulk, the Hulk goes away, obviously. We see why in that after-credits scene of the season one finale. But, like, they go away, and it's only about these new characters, which, to your point, like, I think it should be, like, team-up. Like, they should be showing that. I think that's why Doctor Strange, I think, worked out the best for that new character, because America Chavez is, like, with Doctor Strange, and so we're learning about her through him, rather than the standard origin story that we've seen over and over again.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to your point, like, America Chavez, I think out of Phase 4, she's one of the highlights for sure.
Yeah.
Because she was well done.
I think she was good in that movie. So.
Yeah.
Another question here, and then we got to get to comics here, Corey. Let's ask you quickly. I did see Chris Pratt was asking, who should I play in James Gunn's DC Universe? And so I want to ask you, who does Chris Pratt play?
Probably Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
That's what everybody's saying, Booster Gold.
Yeah, he's just
God. That him and level who would be goofy. Who would be Blue Beetle then? Who would be his Blue Beetle?
Blue Beetle is gonna be Miguel from Cobra Kai.
Yeah, but you still need fucking Ted Kord, the original Blue Beetle.
Yeah, you can have him like, I think it was Geoff Johns when they did the rebirth, and he was like older, and he was his kind of like mentor. I say you get a Parks and Rec reunion going here, and you get Adam Scott in that role.
Oh, God.
Oh, dude. Yes, they would play so well off each other.
You could have Adam Scott be the straight man and Chris Pratt's over here, the guy joking around.
That would be good.
I can see that.
All right, Corey, I think we solved the world's problems tonight. I want to thank you for the exclusive that it is Adam Scott playing Blue Beetle and that Chris Pratt is playing Booster Gold. We're writing that in right now. If that actually does happen, Corey will then give you the winning lottery numbers. So.
All right, Wednesday comic fans. Again, this is hashtag guest host one. Again, for $13 on the Platinum Patreon tier, you can get 1 minute of my time. Remember, if you want an hour of Garrett's time, that's only 13 pennies on the bronze tier. And I don't know. Do better. You know who you are. All right, have a sensational evening. Goodbye, Wednesday comics fans.
What about San Francisco?
Oh, and stay classy, San Francisco. All right, goodbye.
Hey. There you go.
Midwest goodbye right there.
Hashtag guest host one. No, I actually cut him off.
Oh.
I kicked him out because I thought he was going to say goodbye and he didn't say anything. So then I was like, oh, okay. So I went to go push, remove him, and then he said, okay, bye. There we go. Comics coming out this week. Let's get ahead and get to these motherfuckers. Let me pull them up here. I will say this, Alex. Let's start with the weather here first, because in the studio where you guys used to come in here, it is starting to get a little warm and stuffy in here, so you know spring's on the up.
That's right. But this year's weird. So I know they're talking snow. I think Wednesday night into Thursday morning.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And then on Saturday,
what very are slight you little dusting. What?
A little slight dusting. Don't worry. You know what? Get over it. Friday night into Saturday morning, also a little sprinkling of shit. Might make the roads a little slick. You know what, everybody? It's springtime. And South Dakota or Midwest in general, honestly, probably just this year, kind of a shit fest for what you're going to get. Let's face it, spring is going to be wet and snowy, and then we're going to hit summer, and then we're going to bitch because it's too fucking hot, and then it's going to be fall, and it's going to start raining again, and you know what, we're just going to do a weird cyclone of shit. So everyone, I don't know what you should be wearing. I don't know if your balls are sticking or freezing or what they're doing. Wear some pants. Take a cool drink. Get some hot chocolate. Do something. And put your head between your legs and kiss your butt goodbye. There you go.
Is that not the title of your autobiography?
That is the longest title of any autobiography.
No, I just meant the weird cycle of shit.
Oh shit!
That's a good title. Weird cycle of shit.
That is a good title. Weird cycle of shit.
There you go. Oh yeah, I pulled up the comics and then I just got rid of them because I was listening to you. It's Jeff number one, Marvel Comics. Kelly Thompson in Garuhu. Jeff the Land Shark starts in his own fantastic comic. Since his very first appearance, Jeff the Land Shark has flooded our hearts like an adorable tidal wave. Garrett. When did we first meet Jeff the Land Shark?
We met him in West Coast Avengers.
I remember.
That's why I was so excited for this, because I was like, oh my god, like that makes me cheese that they're doing a book just about Jeff. And it's totally warranted because it's fucking Jeff.
There you go.
Is it going to be a silent book?
No, I don't think so. Probably not. But it's got a lot of the West Coast Avengers.
I hope it's got some silent issues. That is a book that literally could just be following Jeff around from a day-to-day perspective.
Thompson. It's Kelly Thompson. She's the comic genius.
Oh, Garrett, don't go that far.
What?
There are times I have chuckled at her work, but comic genius, I don't know. It doesn't...
I agree with Garrett, but it took me a long time to join in, by the way, because I was drinking some delicious water straight from what we call the tap.
Oh, I'm glad.
Delicious. This glass is bigger than normal glasses. I would say about 16 ounces, you know. Actually, no, that is a normal glass usually. I'm going to say about 20 ounces, this glass. And I filled it up with water, and I'm almost done with this baby. And I tell you what, Garrett, never anything better in life.
I know. I'm having some tea right now, so... I'm with you.
Fuck? I'm talking about H2O, not H2O.
This is H2O.
Not H2O and leaves.
Okay, well, you're missing out, man.
Damn. Marvin, you may not have drank enough water. You're still kind of mad.
Yeah, a little crabby, if I may say so myself.
You drinking chamomile?
No, I'm doing peppermint green tea from Trader Joe's.
Oh, there you go.
Fucking incredible.
The Ambassadors, Mark Miller and Frank Quitely, the most ambitious comic book of all time, is finally here. Imagine you could give powers to six people in a world of 8 billion. Who would you choose? Join six of the greatest artists in the industry for an enormous story about ordinary people from around the world explaining why it should be them. The first story features artwork by Frank Quitely. Alex?
The only reason I even put this book on my list was the fact that I had Frank Quitely on there. And all I could imagine was Jupiter's Legacy before it became the shit show of a show that it became. The two volumes of that comic book was phenomenal.
Yeah, I was going to say the comic is good.
No, that's what I'm saying. The comic book was phenomenal. Jupiter's Circle, just as phenomenal. Then it became a TV show, took a dump on itself, no longer care. But I saw Frank Quitely's name on this. I saw Mark Miller. I dropped Mark Miller a long time ago. But Frank Quitely was enough to draw my attention. Like, you know what? I would almost read that book.
He doesn't do many new books these days. So, I mean, get him while you can.
I know, it is kind of ironic. It's six issues, probably Netflix bait.
Yeah. Well, he's still...
You know how this
still,
man rolls.
But it's not even Frank Quitely on all the issues. It sounds like there's five other artists now to do the next consecutive issues. So
he still has that Netflix deal, and he's only made two things with them. So he's got to make something here, Garrett.
I suppose.
I mean, it almost sounds exactly like, instead of giving it to six people, instead of Jupiter Circle, six people got superpowers, or seven, I think it actually. But it's randomly, it's just another story of like people getting superpowers that didn't have them before. So I do hope, Alex, for your sake and for my sake, I'll probably pick this up, that it is different enough that it doesn't feel like he's just trying to go back to the same well.
Marvin, I'm gonna save you the time. It's Mark Miller. It's all the same, and I mean that to be the least disrespectful I can be. But all you talk about, Huck was a superpowered kid. Jupiter's Legacy, superpowered kid. Empress, a queen who used to kick everyone's ass. No, it's the same stuff. People are going to die. Other people are going to have powers, and more people are going to die after that.
Remember the Huck book? That Huck book was good.
It was good.
Waller versus... Oh, go ahead, Garrett.
No, I was saying, yeah, I do remember Huck. Huck was good.
Waller versus Wildstorm number one. This is Jesus Moreno on the art there, and then written by Spencer Ackerman and Evan Nassis. In the early 1980s, the Cold War stubbornly refuses to thaw as a new battle heats up. At the soul of the intelligent agency Checkmate, as the agency's superheroic public face, Jackson King, a.k.a. the Armored Battalion, former leader of Stormwatch and the symbol of America, has long suspected that Adrenaline Kane is up to his dirty tricks overseas. Adeline Kane, engineering horrors that betray, but Adrenaline Kane is a fucking good name. I'll tell you that much right now. The symbol of America might has long suspected that Adeline Kane is up to dirty tricks overseas, engineering horrors that betray everything he believes about service to one's country. But King doesn't know that Kane has a new ally in an ambitious young woman named Amanda Waller. She has her own ideas about how metahumans can serve their country, and honor, dignity, and long lives don't factor into them. National security reporter Spencer Ackerman and comics and video game writer Evan Nassis and veteran artist Eric Battle. Wait, I think you said Jesus Moreno. Celebrate Wildstorm's legacy with this tale of espionage, flavors, superhero morality plays, pitting Stormwatch against the deadliest people in the DCU, including Deathstroke himself. A long way to say that this has one of the best fucking covers I've seen in my whole goddamn life. This comic, Waller versus Wildstorm. It's set in the 80s, about the Cold War, and that's my fucking bag. And now when you have Deathstroke in his original costume on the front of this thing, and it's made to look like an old... it almost looks like a Choose Your Own Adventure or just like an old kind of like book. And it has like some price stickers on it, $5.99, like the old, sticker she used to put on shit. It just looks great. So I'm excited to check that out there. Waller versus Wildstorm.
Well, after you just read that essay, I might actually pick it up. I wasn't going to at first, but now it sounds kind of all right.
And Adeline Kane, once again, maybe change your name, Adrenaline Kane. Adeline Adrenaline Kane. I just misread it. Right, Alex?
What?
Brought to you by RainbowComicsAndCars.com. RainbowComicsAndCars.com. Go online anytime or Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Lincoln, Nebraska. That's RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Get some pulp on that paper. That's where you get those nice, nice comic books on free comic book day. So figure out what's the closest way for you to get there, and that's RainbowComicsAndCards.com. The Lincoln Highway, that passes through Lincoln, Nebraska, and it goes from coast to coast. So you can get there anywhere from the country. Don't fuck around here. Oh, sorry. Sorry. That's me. That's not the ad. I switched to myself in between that, Alex. Just so you know. Get rid of book club.
Wednesday Comics League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents Joe the Barbarian. Holy shit, I don't know what issue. Is it six?
Number six.
Yeah.
Six. Ha, I knew it. Yeah, we're like fully in this dream world now. A lot of the plot point is starting to make more sense because this guy is low on that blood sugar. He's shallow. So what'd you guys think?
How many issues is this?
Eight.
Okay. For some reason, when I was reading this one, I was like, did he say this was 12? And I was like, how's this?
Oh, God. If it was 12, I'd be like, let's just call it.
Okay.
This.
Yeah. Because I was going to say,
well, we got 2 weeks left.
I was going to say, if it was 12, I was like, how much longer can we get about him delaying getting that soda pop?
And so, how long can this kid survive before he's dead? We don't get to the end.
And he brings it up all the fucking time. Give me some soda.
This is an issue. So, the weird thing is, I had the last issue I really enjoyed. And then we got to this one, where it really put a brakes on whether or not I cared. We had the giant dwarf and the inventor kid who are looking for, I don't know what happened to him outside of the fact that he's looking for a soda pop. Really a sassy piece of shit, Joe. I don't like an angsty kind of jump. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up.
He's a warrior, man.
Oh my god. There's not even a fucking warrior. You're looking for a rat that you still don't know if he's dead or alive. You know what you do? You grab your sword. You tell that queen, I'm going to go save the world because you're a fucking piece of shit, and I hope you die in a fire. And
then jeez.
And then the rest of the group does finally show up.
That's his mom. You're,
not no more. She's not. She's kind of a bitch. The biggest thing for me is that at least we finally got to see Sean Murphy look like a current Sean Murphy. When all the knights say, I'm going to go with the dying boy. And then all of a sudden we see all these horses. We see some cars. We see Batman and Robin. We see all these different characters. Like, okay, this feels more like a Sean Murphy book.
I'll agree with that.
It took the 3/4 of this issue for me to go, I like that part. The rest of it, yes, you're right. It is his mom.
You know what? I'm not for the same reasons as Alex, but that's when I started enjoying this issue specifically too. I think the beginning just has too much exposition and too much like setting up. I don't know. There's just a lot of dialogue, seems like, for not really good reasons. And it kind of reminds me of like when Grant, because we keep talking about Sean Murphy here. We keep forgetting it's a Morrison book still. And this guy is very long-winded when he doesn't need to be a lot of times. And I think that's where he succeeds in All-Star Superman, is that it's not so long-winded. And so I feel like the beginning of this was a lot of pomp and circumstance for no real reason. But I did like it when his friend showed up. That's when I started liking it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, when Smoot and... I can't ever think of the girl's name. What's the girl's name?
I don't know. I just read it too. I can't remember.
Inventor? I thought it was Inventikit or something. It was something different. They didn't add any flair to the book for me. It was when they all left and then they stopped talking that I liked.
Did you guys get a feeling that like the queen was kind of like a play off Joe's mom?
Yeah, it is his mom.
Yeah, okay, good.
Because they mentioned that line about that the person who died who looks a lot like his dad, that was her husband, and she's mourning.
Oh, gotcha.
And he was a soldier, and he was a knight, so I knew, and I understood. I knew that it was mom, but is it mom in his brain, or is mom now in the real world?
Well, it seems like, you know, obviously it makes sense that the mom's kind of, like, too busy for him. And not that you blame the mom that he has no, like, he hasn't had any soda pop because he was home alone, but she should have been there with him.
She did say, make sure you would eat something.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty nuts, and it's starting to make a lot more sense, which is what I'm enjoying. Is like, I'm starting to get the reason why he's in this dream world so much. And holy shit, cameos this issue. There was Batman, there was Riddler, there was Wonder Woman, there was all kinds of people. I'm like, where the fuck's Superman? But it's all good.
In that one panel.
Yeah, just in that one panel.
With the toys, yeah.
But, I mean, how do you not love Jack by this point, Marvin, that the rat? Where is he? Where'd he go?
We end on a cliffhanger, and I almost continue reading because I was curious. I'll say, to your same point, I feel like what I liked about this one specifically, and going back to a couple issues ago, I told you that I feel like it was doing it too much, going from reality to his dream world. Like in this one, I liked how he was in that kingdom for a while, and how they kept talking about the eternal light and all stuff like that. Like, you're safe here. This is one place where it's always nice and warm. And then there's a quick panel of him sitting next to the fireplace. And that's all I need. I don't need to cut back to the fireplace like every 2 seconds to get that that's where he is. I will also say, though, as you stated, like, his mom lets his kid come home by himself. He somehow got the door open while in this state. He now has started the fireplace. This kid, a lot of stuff is happening now that, like, one thing goes wrong, and now he's really in danger in the real world. So where is the mom? Yeah. And is that phone call we heard actually real or not? So,
well, that's what I don't know. If mom is there in the real world and she's still talking to him about he should eat something, but not like physically going to grab him a pop and give him a little sip to start getting him to come back out of it.
I don't think she's there, bro.
His mom is very negligent. I will wait for the cops to show up, arrest her,
If she's there, she's really ignoring him.
Yeah, that's child endangerment for sure.
Because he did say to her, even in the dream world, I need a soda pop. And she didn't say anything. So if he actually told his mom in real life, I need a soda pop, my blood sugar, glucose, he says that a couple times, like, and she just ignored him, then yeah, then she needs to be arrested.
Come on.
I bet in this last issue, we only see the real world for a panel. Panel or a page.
Well, he stays in like that, it stays in that other world. Does that mean he passed away?
I'd say he's dead. We need to be in the real world in issue 8.
Well, it's very interesting. I'm personally am curious who, like, how this story came to be. Like, I don't know, does Grant Morrison have somebody in his life that is like diabetic? Or isn't Sean Murphy? I mean, he could be. It could be him. Yeah, it could be like,
I think that documentary I watched, I think, yeah, he's diabetic.
Okay. Well, it's very interesting. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's not what I expected it to be. I'll be totally honest. Going into it, I did not expect this story, but it has been good for what it is.
Yeah. And even, like, the thing, too, I want to make clear is, like, speaking of Morrison, the reason why I love this guy is that he will take these chances with these kind of stories and tell it unconventionally or tell it in a way that, like, is something you didn't expect. And I'd rather him do that than us get a book like him do that and fail. Like, he has a way of doing it, but keeping it contained enough that the story is still there. So even when we get all that stuff that I'm saying that, like, I felt like it was too much pomp and circumstance, at least it's still moving the story forward. Unlike when you get that Wake book when we reread it and we got to the second half and it's just like, now you're building this world and doing all this extra stuff and it's not adding anything to the main story, right? I feel like this still adds. I'm so interested in that kind of the world, even if I feel like it's too much, because I'm interested to see, like, what Jill's mind is conjuring up as the next fantasy. And does he get out of it? Or does he not? So, like, there's a lot of questions for this finale coming up here as we get into the penultimate issue, and I think that's a good sign of a good book, is that we're near the end and I have questions that I want answered because I do want to know what happens rather than not caring.
Right.
Good stuff. Saga number 62. That is Fiona Staples and Brian Caveon. Brian Caveon. This issue here, we kind of get a flashback? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a flashback.
Because we go back to see Marco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Marco.
Which was great to actually see him. Can't lie. I was like, man, it's nice having him back in the book right now.
Wait, remind me, what was the flashback about?
About him and the lady, the Will's girlfriend.
That was the
world. It was Petra and Elena talking about
that. That's
what
it was. That was the flashback. Vengeance. Yeah, that was flashback.
Am I talking about 2 issues ago? What?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, shit. What was I saying? For the flashback. And I just think this. Oh, there was a flashback of this issue because we do see Elena in, like, 2 different styles: bald, shaved. In the place where the person said, "I can bring back your husband," she says, "Bullshit." And her kid Hazel doesn't understand why. It's like, why didn't you agree to bring dad back? And she's like, people are full of bullshit. And I know that's a fucking lie. And then we get that cutback. The same thing, the same kind of discussion that, almost the same, not really the same kind of discussion that she had in that flashback, being like, no, my husband's dead. The last thing he would want for me to do is get revenge, and that's what they're planning on you. I'm just going to continue living, and she can't understand. Like, and you start to think whether or not her not addressing bringing him back or her not addressing getting revenge is her way of coping with his death, to ignore it rather than try to give in to the feelings, whether it be anger or bring back or the longing to bring him back. So I really like this issue. I mean, I think at this point, I do not see any kind of possibility where we'll get a bad issue. Because it's been, like, every... I don't think there's ever been a bad issue of Saga. But like, I think I said this last time when they took a break and it came back, and especially that long, long break, and then they came back. I always think being like, how are they going to keep this interesting still, especially with the amount of losses that we've seen and character changes? But they somehow find a way to still make it interesting 62 issues in.
I have a feeling down the line we're going to get a version of Marco, whether or not it's legitimately him. Or, because I know they've talked about magic, and not even just in this issue, but they've talked about it with the other robots, that, hey, we could bring him back. So I imagine he'll show up.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's a zombified, you know, bad version that needs to be put down one more time, or he really is Marco, and at least he gets one more time to have closure saying goodbye to Hazel. So
I think it would be cool for him to be a ghost, even. I think kind of like the babysitter. I can't remember her name.
What's her name?
I don't know, but I would like that, because like Elena has basically like given up on finding somebody else. So,
yeah, I mean, some men are. So when you. Here's the thing. When you think about this story, right, so from Hazel's perspective, and she's talking about her mom and her dad and the
Isabel,
and the trials and tribulations that they're going through from the point that she's born, or at least from somebody's perspective, the mom or the dad, probably the mom at this point. But she's telling this, basically retelling this, and we got to keep thinking about, like, where is she in the person that's writing that journal, like, how far along is she? And at what point of the story are we going to meet up to that point to see Hazel and to see, like, is the whole point of this book really, like, what's the center plot that is motivating all these characters? And it was a story about class. It was a story about race. It was a story about living in a society that is a society that really doesn't have freedoms and it's always at war. And it kind of touched on those subjects, but it kind of really has gotten away from that. And it's more now about grief. It's more now about raising a child, parentship. And I think we might get a reincarnation or kind of like ghost form of Marcus, just in a way to kind of tell the story of, in the saga way that it would, is that, like, if we act like, you know, if this is a story about grieving, and you do get a chance to buy into that. Like, if you had a chance to bring back somebody who passed away that you really cared for, and you're saying, bullshit, don't fuck with me. Like, don't, I know that it's not real. And then when we get to a moment in which it is real, I think that's very cathartic for these characters. And I think it's might be necessary for us to see Alana finally accept what happened and move on, because it almost feels like that she is portraying that more than she actually is believing that she moved on.
Well, but I appreciate when she's talking to Petra that I have to think like a mom. I don't get to think like a crazy person who wants to go kill someone else because they killed my loved one. I am a mom of Squire and Hazel, and I don't have time for that bullshit. So, I mean, it's the fact that she wants to put her kids before her own grief. She probably hasn't had even a chance to come to terms with what had happened. She's just so concerned about giving the kids a life and not letting them focus on what happened to them.
Giving them a life and surviving and doing everything she can to scrape two pennies together.
So it's a wonderful issue. When we get to the Gwen stuff, and I forgot who had shown up. Will.
Oh, sorry, that you're talking about Gale at the end, Special Agent Gale, when he like fucking destroys Jenny, who like had some feelings for Marco in the past.
I love when he gets done with having shot her in the face. Holy, he goes, shit, was that graphic. But you know, she made the right choice. Yeah. You guys never would make him out of this one.
Oh, so sad.
That whole end scene was like the perfect way to cliffhang this book. Because, like, it's the first real, I feel like, at least, I don't remember anything else that really, like, felt like, oh, shit, like, somebody's looking for them and they're in danger again until this moment. And now not only do we have the story of them trying to survive, but to survive in a world where somebody is still looking for them. Like, or at least Marco at that point. But yeah, I enjoyed that. I did see the in the letter pages that they kind of talked about how this is the first issue where they're trying different things with how they're putting together the comic. There's a inset panel, which is when they have like a maybe a splash page or half a page of art, and there's like a panel over that art, and it's kind of, I think it's in the middle of the issue, but I do like that those two both, like, this is how much they have comics, is like that little point in which like, hey, this is what we're gonna do with this panel, and she he and the end he said that Fiona Staples was like, holy shit, we're doing what, like, it does this differently, like, I think this is the first inset panel in Saga. Shows how much that they love comic books, and I thought that was a nice little thing in the letter to put to be just be like, they're having fun doing this still, 62 issues in, and this is what they're loving.
I saw at the end of the issue that Brian K. Vaughan has another free to read book, and which I totally respect. They're putting out free stuff to read, but I'm also like, I wish that they would just get put out into paper so that I could pick it up, because I want to support him. But I'm not going to go. I know they do, and I could always pick up Private Eye at some point in time. I think they have a hard copy or a hardcover collection.
Yeah. And Private Eye, and then also that other one that he did with Marcos Martin.
Barrier?
What?
Wasn't it Barrier?
Barrier. No. Yes.
Ooh. Where they speak Spanish, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I remember Barrier. Yeah. Wow, that was a long time ago.
That's a widescreen comic? Throwback.
Yep. Yeah.
Throwback. Oh, I'm looking forward to the next issue, Saga. It seems like, and even though I do see it's coming out on time, it does almost feel like a long time to the next issue.
It's because you go through the issue so fast because it's so good, and then it's over. It's over for the month.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I still need to go back and pick up the other, not the omnibus, but I want to get the second and the third big volumes, because I just want to go back and binge read the shit out of this book again without having to find all my issues.
I actually, when it was coming back, that first big book was, and I know this is not your bag, but it was on sale digitally on Comixology for $10, I think. And so I got it.
Yeah, remember you bought that.
It's like, how do I not go back, even though I have, no, actually I don't, because I started buying the comics in digitally, and before that was one of my comics, like, I'm getting print only on this thing. So
that's what I did too. I got it for like $10-$15. That's how I caught up.
So it's nice having it digitally in case I want to go back and read it, which I did start at one point, and I have to pick that up again. So it's good stuff. Good stuff, Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Little Saga, little Joe, and a little talk about Chris Pratt. So good show. WednesdayComics.com. It's the website. Go there. And you might be Mario in the next movie, because, you know, if you can do a little bit better of accent, you'll be in the next movie. I'm not saying you go to WednesdayComics.com and it's going to make it easier for you to get that job. I'm just saying go to WednesdayComics.com. All right? And while you're there, subscribe to the show. Click on the Twitter and find us on the Twits. Alex is at AP Keaton. Garrett is at Garrett2188, and I'm at the Wednesday Comics. Go to RainbowComicsAndCars.com. And while you're on the internet and you still got the browser open, go to RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. If that's not working and it's down, make sure also to go visit his Instagram at Roots of the Swamp Thing, or on Twitter at DC World Swampy. Swamp Thing, a big factor into the DC plan, so maybe Chris Pratt will play him. Who knows? Maybe he's like, I'm tired of being a human. Let me get into CG so I only have to do a voice. Because he is good at voices, as we heard. So, I mean, why not put him in that movie? Make sure also to... I think that's it. Is that it?
Yeah. That's it.
SuperCon 2023. The Beyond SuperCon. Go to supercon.com. That's SIOUX.com. Nope. Supercon.com. I would sue.com. I just sent people to. Oh, Chris Pratt. You know, Alex, me and Chris Pratt, this is a true story 100%. There's no bullshit. All right? No bullshit. Me and Chris Pratt one time in Ventura, California, I was down there for a shoot, and he comes up to me and says, "You look familiar." I said, there's no way that's possible. You don't know who I am. I go, but I know who you are. You're Chris Pratt. And he said, yes, I am. And he said, what are you doing down here? And I said, I'm doing a shoot. And he goes, oh, that's ironic because we're doing a shoot too over here. Jurassic World at that time. Third one. Dominion, you know. We got a cup of coffee and I talked to him and I said, what is your life ambition? And you know what he told me, Alex?
What did he tell you?
He said it was to bring a nice Italian representation to Mario. So when that trailer came out and people made fun of that accent, he was devastated. He said, this is all that my whole life has been leading up to this moment, playing the Mario. That's his first and last name. Mario. And I just need everybody that said bad things about him, including you, Alex, to apologize to him, not only via the internet, but give him a call. His phone number is 605-215-1849 and apologize to him because he's somewhere right now eating a pizza.
Jesus, this is just,
and
come on.
He's crying all over that, and it just came off in his face.
So. Jeez.
Well, I'm going to let him know I'm not very good at apologies or meaning them, so probably won't happen. Try not to cry into pizza. That does make it awfully salty. And guess what? Get over it.
Alex says, stop crying at my fucking pizza.
Not everyone can sound as Italian as me.
It's a me, Marvin.
God. I think he said it's him, Alex.
Oh, it's Alex. I'm Alex.
I am a Garrett.
I wasn't listening, everybody. Eat your pizza and keep turning those pages. But not at the same time.